everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. The one whose presence we claim here this morning. The one whose presence we welcome here this morning. The one whose presence I trust we welcome in our homes. The one whose presence I trust we welcome in our individual lives as we walk from day to day. The thought of the presence of Jesus is our theme for this morning. Message title this morning is Feeling at Home in the Presence of Jesus. Now, you all know what it means to feel at home somewhere. It's to be relaxed, it's to be comfortable, to not be ill at ease, to kind of know that everything's okay. Is to feel at home about something, to feel good about something. It's a positive thought to feel at home. I've been pondering this meditation for some time. My original thoughts to this particular title come from a Southern gospel song that we used to hear sung years ago. That was titled That Feeling at Home in the Presence of Jesus. That song went like this. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, hearing him call me his own, just feeling at home, putting my feet right under his table, knowing I won't be alone, just feeling at home. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, needed and happy and free, just feeling at home. Feeling accepted and loved and forgiven, a part of his fine family. Feeling at home. You couldn't have told me I'd find what I found, contentment and peace from above. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, laying way back in his love. Warming myself by the fires of his spirit, camping right close to his throne, just feeling at home. As we think this morning of being in Christ's presence, or Christ being present with us, as I ponder that thought, the blessing of that thought, what it means to ponder the presence of Jesus, it makes such a difference whether or not we've allowed Jesus to become Lord of our life. If we've found forgiveness of sin, the thought of Christ's presence is a precious thought. It's an endearing thought that he goes with us and he guides us and he's in our hearts. On the counter, if we have not yielded our life over to Christ, we are living in sin or we have guilt, and we're just not quite sure about being with Jesus, or Jesus being with us, or Jesus coming into our presence. It brings guilt, it brings condemnation, it brings a desire to come to him. So as I pondered this thought this morning, I went to the Gospels, and I began to scan through the four Gospels and find illustration and account after account where Jesus came into the home of many, many different people. Jesus, while he was here, made a lot of home visits. He visited a lot of homes, and I would just like to quickly go through a few of these accounts. We can't begin to cover them all this morning. I'd like to read a few of the accounts and notice how special it was to these people in their individual experiences to have Jesus come into their home, to have Jesus come into their presence, the difference that it made. We'll start back in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus comes to Peter's house. And as we go through these accounts, let's just think about what it would be like to have Jesus come into our house, to have Jesus come to our house today. Let's think about what it would be like to have Jesus come here today and join this assembly. What he would say, what he would want to accomplish. You know, as we read through the gospel accounts, sometimes we read these words, something like this, and he knowing their thoughts. Jesus would see right into the thoughts and inner heart and inner being of those that he'd be surrounded by. And Jesus knows your thoughts and my thoughts and our thoughts here this morning. And that's okay. That's good. Again, if it's okay in our relationship with him. So let's keep that in mind as we read these, quickly read a few of these accounts. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus comes to Peter's house. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And so we see the healing had happened. There was someone who had a physical need. And when Jesus saw that, he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and he ministered unto them. Jesus performed many miracles of healing. We'll be noticing a few of them. And it was special for them. So I'm sure Jesus' presence was welcome here at Peter's house this day. And the result of him being there was forever remembered, and we talk about it even here today, what Jesus accomplished. And then I'm not sure what all he said. It says he ministered unto them. He encouraged them, I'm sure. Probably talked about heaven, talked about his father, talked about his mission while he came here. The next chapter, Matthew chapter 9, we have the raising of Jairus' daughter. Matthew chapter 9, start at verse 18, down through verse 26. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she had within herself, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And I guess it did. What a miraculous event. In both of these people's experience, we have this woman who says, if I could just touch the hem of the garment of this man, Jesus, I'll be healed. She wanted to come into his presence and experience his power in her life for her needs. And then we have this young lady brought back to life. Yes, they would laugh him to scorn, some did. What do you think the response of those people who laughed him to scorn was when she actually rose from the dead? What an event. What a welcome presence. Jesus must have been in the house of this ruler, this certain ruler. We don't even know what his name was. But God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came into this home and made such a big difference. What a welcome presence he must have been. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, 13 through 17. He comes to Levi's house. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the receipt of customs, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then a beautiful event unfolds here, where Jesus shows his love and compassion for publicans and sinners. I am so glad this morning that Jesus continues to desire to come into the life and heart and experience of publicans and sinners. He wants to come there and make a difference in your life this morning if you fall into the category of one who has not yet yielded your life over to him. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful visitation this was when he showed his love for sinners. A few more pages. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I'll begin our reading at verse 36. We have a woman anointing Jesus, washing his feet with her tears. I skipped down one. This is the Syrophoenician daughter is healed here. Luke 7 will be the next one where the woman anoints Jesus. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house. And would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth a devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, That the children first be filled, for it is not meet that to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Another beautiful account, not just a story, another beautiful account of Jesus reaching into this home and bringing healing and deliverance from the power and bondage of the devil, the evil one. Jesus can continue to do that this morning. He wants to do that in the life of an experience of anyone about us in the world today. Jesus is the great deliverer. He wants to come into people's houses and deliver people of the devil, the bondage of Satan and the devil. He wants to come into individuals' lives and help them to find that deliverance. Now let's move to Mark chapter 7, where we have the account of the woman anointing Jesus. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. Beginning at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. To me, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Another beautiful home visit. What a change it brought into this woman's life. She heard about Jesus, and she came and wanted to worship him. She worshiped him, and it was so moving to her that she shed tears and used those tears to wash his feet and dry them with her hair, and she anointed him with this ointment. Another beautiful picture of worship as he came into this home. Do we worship Jesus in our homes? What is our level of worship and respect to Jesus? Luke chapter 10, go to Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Life is filled with choices. Life is filled with choices for each one of us this morning, just like Mary and Martha had a choice here. Jesus wants to have his presence felt in our homes. Do we have time for him? Or are we cumbered about with many cares and troubles and much things that would detract us from worshiping Jesus? Another beautiful home visit that Jesus made. Luke chapter 14, he heals the man with dropsy. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Beginning at verse 1, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to those things. Another beautiful visit to a home where he brought healing to this man. Chapter 19, the Zacchaeus account. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Beginning at verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus answered and said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming into this world, to seek and to save the lost. As he went about his earthly ministry and touched from home to home, touched individuals, he made a change in their lives. What's so special about this account? What can we learn from it? Zacchaeus was a seeker. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he was short and he couldn't see Jesus. So he scampers up this tree. When Jesus comes, what happens? He not only gets to look down and see Jesus, but Jesus looks up and sees Zacchaeus and tells him, I'm coming to your house today. Now, do you suppose that Zacchaeus, when he left that day, and it was in his mind that he's going to go and try to see this Jesus, that he, in the wildest, furthest remote section of his mind, he thought that Jesus would come home with him to his house? I doubt it. But Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house today. It was a life-changing experience for Zacchaeus. He sought God. He wanted to see Jesus. And he found him. And Jesus saw him. He made restitution. And we believe he became a follower of Jesus. Praise God's name. Luke chapter 22. We have the disciples being commanded to find a place to hold the Passover. We call it the Last Supper. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 10 through 22. Or pardon, through verse 20. Chapter 22, 10 through 20. And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good men of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Another very beautiful account where he institutes the Lord's Supper. Observe the Passover for the last time with his disciples in this home, in the guest chamber. And he reminds them and us of the coming time when he will drink it anew with his faithful ones in the kingdom, in the eternal kingdom. Just one more over in the book of John chapter 11. The account of Lazarus, one of Jesus' close friends, John chapter 11, beginning at verse 20. John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. We could keep reading down through all these accounts. We have there, verse 34, Jesus raises a question, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The compassion of Jesus. As he came into the experience of Mary and Martha, and the bereavement and their loss of Lazarus. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said not I unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. What a visitation! What a presence Jesus made in this home. I would like to just fast forward to us today. As we read these accounts, and there's a lot more that we could have turned to, I just had to highlight a few and read them. It touched my heart, and I trust as we read these accounts, it touched your heart too. To know what a compassionate person Jesus was as he was here. That same compassionate Jesus is alive today. He's present here today. Where two or three gather in his name, he promises to be in the midst to suit a blessing. So we claim that blessing. We love the presence of Jesus. As that songwriter said, we feel at home in the presence of Jesus. Right here with us today. Raise a few questions. Is Jesus welcome at your house? If Jesus would come to your house today by surprise, like he did to Zacchaeus' house one day, what would he find? Would he find an atmosphere in which he would feel welcome? Would he find an atmosphere, a spirit about your house, if you will, that you would be comfortable with? We desire that every day. Each one of us in our homes, we desire that every day. Is Jesus welcome into your life today? Is he a part of your life today? Are you walking with him? Are you walking arm in arm with Jesus, trusting him to lead the way as we sing in that song? Is he welcome in your life today? If Jesus were to suddenly, I say, if Jesus were to suddenly burst into your presence as an individual, whether through death or by his coming again, how would he find you? Would you feel at home in his presence, as that song sings about, talks about? Just 7 quick points. For Jesus to abide at your house or in your life, here are some things that must have transpired or take place. 1, for you to feel at home in the presence of Jesus, ye must be born again. You must be born again. John chapter 3, that account of Nicodemus. When he comes to Jesus, and he knew he had a need in his heart. John chapter 3. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This raised some questions in Nicodemus' mind, how that all would come to be. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. To feel at home in the presence of Jesus, you must be born again. 2, you need to have a desire to have him in your life. We looked at the account of Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus went to seek Jesus. He put forth an effort. He climbed up into that sycamore tree to see Jesus. And as he was up there watching and looking, Jesus looked up and saw him. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and ye shall find. We have the promise in the scripture. If there's anyone here this morning that is seeking to know Jesus, and you're willing to climb the sycamore tree, if you're willing to show Jesus that you are serious about seeking him, he will find you. He will find you. He will look your direction. You will make eye contact with Jesus, as did Zacchaeus. And you will, and if you follow Zacchaeus' example, Zacchaeus wanted to do whatever it was would take to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. So you must be born again, and you need to seek him. 3, you must allow him to be Lord of your life and of your home. He must be the central one, the supreme one, the 1. Jesus will share that position with no one else. Jesus and Jesus alone. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. 4, need to worship him. To feel at home in the presence of Jesus, I believe it will include worship. Individually, collectively as families, we worship God. Through prayer, through singing, reading God's word, we want to worship him. We read that beautiful worship experience of Mary. Jesus is looking for Marys to worship him today. And he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of your worship. Jesus feels at home in homes that worship him. And for him to make a surprise visit, to only find out that he's been worshiped there, and he knows that already. He knows our thoughts, just as he knew the thoughts of those that he walked with when he was here. Number five, we're going to feel at home in the presence of Jesus. We need to keep his commandments. We need to walk in his ways. We need to live lives of obedience. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's a question that Jesus would raise to anyone who is not following in the commandments of Jesus. Number seven. To feel at home in the presence of Jesus, you must have within you a desire to be with him eternally. Forever in his presence. A desire to be with him eternally. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Very comforting words. That we can someday meet the Lord in the air. Those who die and those who are still alive when he comes will meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. But those that will forever be with him will only be those who have felt at home with him and he felt at home with them while they walked this earth. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus. How comfortable are you this morning with that thought? Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, hearing him call me his own. Do you hear Jesus calling you his own? Putting my feet right under his table, knowing I won't be alone. Feeling needed and happy and free. Feeling accepted and loved and forgiven. A part of his warm family. And that you can testify with that songwriter that you couldn't have told me I'd find what I found. Contentment and peace from above. Is that your experience this morning? Individually and in your homes. Do you feel at home in the presence of Jesus? It's possible there's some here this morning that don't feel comfortable with the thought of Jesus' presence. That can be changed. It's a personal choice. You can come to Jesus as did Zacchaeus. You can reach out to him and seek him. If you seek, you will find him. You will find him. I think we'll sing a verse or two of invitation song this morning. For someone here this morning that is feeling ill at ease at the thought of the presence of Jesus, give you opportunity to stand and find Jesus. Stand till you're recognized, and we'll help you to find Jesus and feel at home in his presence. If you aren't feeling at home now. Christian hymnal number 303.